Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Don't miss a minute of ruined dits for breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella. They're closer than you think.
Oh, g'day, Roo. Good morning on this Tuesday. How are you?
Very, very well, Dits. No, cruising along.
Cruising along?
Yeah.
Gee, you moped in this morning. How many kids in the bed last night?
When I left this morning, there was three.
Only three in the bed?
Mm.
So the little one said,
roll over. So I rolled over and I went and slept in one of the boys' single beds.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I do. Tom's crook. We were having tea last night. Three massive spews on the dinner table last night.
Nice.
So that was good.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this contagious or what?
Well, who knows? I'll find out soon. But little fella's a bit dusty, yeah. So I had to put him to bed without a bottle.
To get off the grog, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I see you haven't had your tooth fixed.
Today? I mean, 2:45.
The gap looks bigger today. Have you lost
Actually,
more?
I reckon I might have, you know.
I think you've lost more.
Yeah.
If you missed it yesterday, Roo's come in with half his front tooth missing.
Yeah.
Looks a bit like Jim Carrey, Bucky Dumber and Dumber.
Beaver. Yeah. But I'll be right tomorrow. I'll look like
a movie star again.
Wag who's had 10 operations in her mouth to get her teeth straight.
Yeah. Hey, Roo, we're going to meet a bloke today, a South Australian who's written a book. He's just spent 7 years in an Afghan prison, which I wouldn't recommend.
No.
He actually killed a man. He admits that he murdered a man and burnt the body over
in Afghanistan. Self-defense, wasn't it?
He says it was self-defense and then went to prison for 7 years. He's been released and he's written a book about it. We're going to talk to him later on this morning.
Leave me out of that. That'd be no good. Pete Helly is going to join us. We've got the Angels today. Sean Burgoyne's going to join us today too.
What's he doing?
Well, he's going to be playing international rules at Adelaide Oval. Not too far away,
okay. You know, the NBN is in the news for all the wrong reasons. The complaints this year to the watchdog have gone up 151%, if you don't mind. So that's not travelling all that well.
No, not good at all.
All right, so plenty to cover off on this morning. Roo and Dits here. All thanks to Southern Volkswagen down at Ranella.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
What is making news around the place, Roo? Well, first up, go on.
No, I was going to say about Adele. She's been offered a residency in Vegas.
Yeah.
And not a bad one either, just quietly. There might be a bit of a pay discrepancy happening over there.
What's the story?
Well, she's getting paid $33 million to live in Vegas for a year. And
really?
All she has to do is do one show a week.
One show a week?
One show a week.
Really?
So she'll get between $500,000 to $650,000 a show for one night.
Now, Roo, you've been to
biscuits.
Vegas, haven't you?
Yes.
I haven't been to Vegas. Aren't they, I know Elton John, for example, has just had a residency there as well. Would they be playing in large stadiums like when she played at Adelaide Oval, or is it
just one of the big pubs over there, big hotels?
How many people?
I don't know about how many people, but it says here that audiences are prepared, the VIPs, which get to meet and greet and speak to them, can pay up to $33,000 a ticket.
Wow. Really?
So there's a few cashed up people over there in Vegas town.
Actually, we rang her this morning for a comment. Do you know what she said? Hello.
Oh, no.
Sorry. gee, that's big dough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good dough, Ditch. You'd probably move to Vegas for a year for that, wouldn't
I
you?
Thought, yeah.
She is worth a fair bit of dough, though. They reckon she's worth £125 million or $210 million, which is not bad for a year. I think she's, 25 or something like that? So she's got a few years to sing yet, if she can stay on the straight and narrow and not go off the rails like most of them do. So good luck to her. She seems like she's pretty clever.
Yeah, and great singer, no doubt about that. Hey, just for people that are thinking of travelling to the UK in the near future, it's been announced, I don't know if you're aware of this. Don't take your car. Leave it at home, or certainly leave it outside London on the outskirts, because do you know for a while now they've had a thing called congestion tax. Now, do you understand what that's about?
Too many cars.
Too
in
many
town.
Cars. That's right. Mm. So you got to pay £11.50 per day to drive around the streets of London. You got to get a permit, and it costs £11.50
per day. £11 per day?
Per day. Mm. So it's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
What they're introducing as of tomorrow is an extra £10 if your car was built pre 2006. So it's about pollution now. So it's congestion and pollution. So
they're pushing you off the road.
£21.50, which is basically not short. It's just short of $50 per day to drive in London. So
yeah,
and they're really,
so unless you're loaded,
they're forcing people to take public transport.
Yep. Well, they're whinging about the we've got the highest proportion of people driving to the CBD in Adelaide of Australia at the moment.
Have we really?
Yep. And maybe they'll have to look at doing something like that if it becomes an issue here. I don't think we get gridlocked too much in the city. We do where there's roadworks around the town,
yeah,
which is a lot at the moment,
mm-hmm,
which is causing a lot of people a lot of pain. But don't we want to be have driverless cars here soon?
Yeah.
That's what Weatherall's been talking about.
Mm.
And carbon neutral and all that sort of stuff. But who knows? They might bring in a tax like that.
Maybe they will. Probably happen
don't
in all
like
major
it too much.
Happen in all major cities one day, I reckon.
Yeah.
Mm.
If population growth still continues to happen, it will have to happen, Dits, won't it?
Yeah. Now, same-sex marriage, obviously the vote continues, and we're waiting to see what happens. Malcolm Turnbull suggested yesterday that it'll get through by Christmas time, I think. Magda Zubanski, who is openly gay, was on Q&A last night on the ABC and got into a bit of a stoush.
I'm not a religious authority. I'm less... 74.9% of people in Australia get married outside the church. Mm. Now, I accept that the Catholic Church will never marry me, but you won't even let me marry outside the church. What is it... Why is it your right to determine... Fair enough. In your domain, you do what you like. We live in a live-and-let-live society. I don't want to tell anyone else what to do. Why should you have the right to tell me in a civil or any other person, straight or gay, what they do in the civil domain? Okay, That's not your domain.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with her 100%. That, and I think we've discussed this here.
What was the argument here?
Well, there was a religious. I don't know which denomination he was. He must have been Catholic because she was talking about the Catholic Church. But there was a priest on the panel last night. I didn't get to see it, but I think she's right. Look, if you are Catholic, if you're Lutheran, you're Dominican, whatever you are, in your own denomination, do what you like. But you can't be telling other people outside the church what to do as well. Surely,
I wouldn't have thought. I'm like you, Dits. Just let them. Get married and be happy.
The Wag just told me he was the Anglican Archbishop.
Right.
So he speaks with authority about his church, but she's right. I mean, if you do it in your church, good on you. You've got your own rules, but other people should have their rules too.
When does that wind up, that the postal vote? Does anyone know? Must be getting soon. It's been going on for ages. You've had plenty of time.
Yeah.
Why is that taking... Why are they giving so much time for people to do
it? Who knows? $120 million.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, and a little one just to finish Cox Plate this weekend. Bruce McAvaney will hopefully join us towards the end of the week. He reckons that Farlap wouldn't even have beaten Winks. That's what he's come
really?
Out and said yesterday.
Wow, that's a big statement.
That is a big statement. The greatest horse of all time would not have even beaten Winks.
Now,
we'll ask him.
They're getting too technical. Do you reckon if you lined up Black Caviar, Winks, Farlap, can't you do the weights they carried, the distances they ran, and the times they ran?
Maybe the times might be a bit out just because of the tracks maybe would be different. But I know what you're talking about. And things get faster, don't they, over time?
Mm.
But it'd be an interesting race if you could do a simulation.
Yeah.
Might be worth doing.
I'll ask Bruce when he joins us.
Yeah,
can we
good
do
idea,
it?
Dits.
All right, 6:15, it's Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruin Dits for breakfast. Roo, let's get him on. Our favourite Collingwood supporter. He's on the project. I wonder if they're still paying him. We'll find out. Peter Hellier, good morning.
Morning, Ruin Dits. And I might be your favourite Collingwood supporter, but I think there's another one. Roo, welcome to the club, mate. You've lost a tooth and is in the mail.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? You just poke your tongue through the gap and you can have hours of entertainment with it.
Well, breakfast lasts for the whole day, you know. You can just, you know, you get breakfast all caught up in your teeth and your gums. It's great.
No, whistling, you can breakfast. Do that without trying very hard. I've had lots of fun. I might give Ditch one and see if he wants to try it out.
Very, very excited. There's a real buzz happening in Melbourne when news floated across the border that the great Mark Ricciuto had chipped the tooth eating, what was it, cornflakes?
Special K. But cornflakes, I'm happy to go with that for the story.
Well, try to avoid rice levels. We don't want you to snap, crackle, pop a heart. I've got to say, ever since It's about 6 or 7 years ago when Roo took my old mate Strawny out at the centre bounce at the EJ Witten Legends game. Yep. I thought the opportunity is going to come just to show up Mark Ricciuto and show him how tough this little fella is compared to that Brownlow medalist. And let me tell you how I broke my tooth. Okay. I was many years ago, I was 8 years old, and the family went on a family holiday to Merimbula, which is southern coast, New South Wales. A few families went up there. I was excited, you know, off from school, and had breakfast without a problem at all, to be honest. Just got through it. Got through the Cocoa Pops, probably had some rice bubbles, had some toast.
Toughed it out.
Got through everything. Orange juice. And then we went to, when we had a great trip, and we went to mini golf. And I remember winning a Playboy badge, which was a bit weird, to be honest. But there's a little Playboy bunny badge that I won because I got a hole in one. And I got a Mr. T transfer T-shirt that said, Mr. T loves Merimbula. Now, I'm not sure if officially Mr. T ever went to Merimbula, but apparently, according to this T-shirt, which I wore for many years, he loved Merimbula. Right. So I was having a great trip. The last day, we thought, okay, Mum and Dad surprises. We're going to Magic Mountain.
Oh.
Magic Mountain. I'm not sure how the Magic Mountain Marine compares to the one in Glenelg. I'm not sure if that one's still there. Similar? Okay. Well, obviously, it's awesome then. So I was very excited. I go on a there's a few water slides. There's one called the Black Hole.
Oh, dangerous.
The Black Hole, yeah. The Black Hole basically goes underground.
Ooh,
so
it's different.
We're pretty excited to go on this one. So imagine little Petey. I was pretty chubby.
Were you plump early?
There was a little bit of girth. I wasn't worried about getting stuck in the water slide. It wasn't at that level. There was a bit going on. Let's just say my worst day of the year was swimming sports when I had to take the top off.
So did Mum oil you up so you could slide down?
I was covered in butter. So I, as an eight-year-old, I went down, complete darkness, and I swished and I swirled, and eventually I flipped on over, and my face is smashed into the side of the water slide.
Oh, no.
I went down through, I didn't know what had happened, went down through the darkness, my head throbbing. I came out to the side. My mate Trav, he'd gone down ahead of me. We went down to the pool at the end. He just turned around and gone, oh, how awesome was that? And then looked at me and gone, what the? He saw my face was full of blood. I had a broken nose and taken 3 teeth out.
Oh, Pete.
And you know what? Didn't cry. Just got on with it. Eight injections that night at the dentist.
Ooh, what?
And eight injections. I went into that black hole as a boy, but I came out a man.
Yeah. Oh, Pete.
That's what I did.
And what else happened down there?
I took off my board shorts and I had beards as well. So it really was quite a transformation.
I've broken my nose before. I can't remember getting 8 injections.
Yeah. Well, that was for the teeth. That was 8 injections in the gums because for the broken teeth.
Oh, wow.
And just to make the point, just to finish off, I'm going to eat some cornflakes right now. Just to prove the point that I'm tougher than Mark Ricciuto.
Okay, I think there's a good idea in there somewhere where parents can take the... If that slide goes underground, that's fantastic. And kids just never come back.
For the whole holidays.
They just go down.
You can have a holiday without your kids. Perfect.
And guys, just eat the cornflakes. Not a problem in the world.
I've got to toughen up a bit.
You keep toughening it out, Pete. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
There he is.
Hey, Pete.
Peter Hellyer.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Now, just a warning, if kids are listening, I'll give you, a 20-second warning. I'll just mumble along here for a moment, Roo, but we are going to talk about sex injury. So if you don't want the kids to listen to this or partake in this conversation...
Send them outside.
Send them outside, yes. All right, so I've been handed an article this morning, Roo. Middle-aged men requiring treatment for sex injuries has quadrupled in 5 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of numbers.
Quadrupled.
Isn't it? That's big numbers, Dits. And I wouldn't think it's just on the back of everyone having more sex. I think it's, they're saying, in fact, it's because people are more honest about how they got injured to start with, instead of blaming it on fishing or or a DIY
fishing.
Well, that's what they said, fishing or a DIY project, or
slammed it in the door accidentally or something like that.
Yeah, I went to put some bait on the hook and I put it
straight through, those sort of things.
Whiz. They're saying it's just about being honest and coming up with a lot more, but it's mainly blokes in their mid-50s, Dits.
Right.
Your age, okay. You dirty old man.
No.
What have you been doing?
I am not the stereotypical.
You are the stereotypical middle-aged bloke in their mid-50s.
Yeah.
Have you broke your willy lately?
You talk about injuries. I would have thought, you know, does it mean you've thrown your hip out or something like that? I don't know.
Or back.
Or a heart attack on the job or something like that.
I think all of that, hernias, they're saying.
We're reading a story here. About
ankle sprains, wrists.
I've heard about, there's a famous AFL player who did this, and I won't name the person, but broke his penis. Now, apparently, there is a story here that this lad, he's 24 years of age, and getting amorous with his girlfriend, they got a bit vigorous and actually broke it. Now, I wish I could break mine in halves, to be honest. But he broke his, and apparently, and I'm being a bit graphic here, but blood has absolutely gushed out and all over the floor.
Well, out the end.
Yeah. Well, I presume so.
You don't split it on the side.
I don't know, but blood has gone absolutely everywhere. Now, we're bringing Alice the Wag into this conversation right now. Alice, what can you add to this?
I may have broken one.
You've broken what?
No.
A pecker.
No, come on, tell the truth.
Yes, I have. I've broken a penis.
You've broken one.
Yes. And can I say
deliberately
that,
or
that
accidentally?
Just say good morning. Just say good morning to your mum.
I hope they're in bed so bad.
Well, this is a feather in your cap, isn't it?
Congratulations.
Mum and Dad have got to be proud of this.
Did you try and do it, or was it an accident?
No, it was a total accident. But
see, this is the honesty Dits that they're talking about.
Mm.
That the people are happy to talk about it these days. So keep going.
There was so much blood.
And where did it come out at the end, or did you split it?
I don't actually know. I didn't.
Well, you didn't even look.
You didn't
even
know.
Just kept going, did you?
Because he was like so stressed, because then I was like nearly fainting. So he was trying to run to the shower. And yeah.
Are you
what
serious?
What happened next?
You're making this up, sure.
No, I'm dead set serious. It was horrific. It was really bad.
What did you do? Just.
I don't want to know what she did.
No, did you get some ice?
We called the guy, had a friend who was a doctor.
Mm. What a doctor.
But she was like a gastro doctor. She said just ice it and lie down.
Right. So
that would have put an end to it.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
And so loads of blood.
Like so much blood, because all the blood is rushing to the area.
Well, we know what goes on there.
So it was just kept pumping out.
Right, okay.
And was it your fault, or how did it
I'd say mutual fault.
Mutual.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Just the wrong angle.
All right. Don't. Right.
You're asking all these questions.
Right. Just trying to see how it works, Dits, because.
But I have a cousin who is a nurse, and she once had a girl come in with a carrot stuck up her hoo ha.
Oh, no.
And the girl said it happened gardening.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no worries, love. It's a love of veggies, isn't it? She loves her veggies.
Oh, look, I was peeling the veggies for dinner last night. Whoops. And would you believe? Oh, gee. Anyway, have you ever been injured in the act?
And keep it clean.
Have you ever hurt yourself, Roo?
No.
Well, obviously you have.
So. No, I don't think so.
Now, this is interesting. I'm fascinated by this. Can you hurt yourself? Well, they say you can, obviously, because this report says.
Online, I want to know if you can actually break your willy.
You can. I've done it.
I don't trust you.
But is there the thing that I can't get my head around?
There's no bone.
Is there a bone in there?
Where's the bone?
So what breaks? Exactly. Because
you haven't got a bone in there.
We're trying to keep this as clean as we can, but when it's limp, there's no bone in there. There's nothing.
No, that's right. It doesn't disappear.
And then all of a sudden, when it's angry, it can snap in halves.
Yeah, I need a doctor.
Righto. Quick. Someone can help us out. 133353. This is an educational segment. We're not being silly here. But have you actually hurt yourself in the act? And if a doctor can help us out here with...
This is right in our target market.
It is.
50-year-old blokes, Dits,
who do
what they do.
We're here to help.
That's right.
You know, when Dr. Carl comes on, he always calls us Dr. Roo and Dr. Dits.
We need Dr. Carl.
Maybe we need Dr. Carl.
We do need Dr. Carl.
All right, there you go. 133353.
Get Dr. Carway.
Give us a call.
Triple M.
This could be our last ever segment on radio. 6:53.
Needs to be discussed. Needs to be discussed.
All right. Injuries whilst having sex.
Yeah, let's go to Grange. Paul, what have you got to say?
It is true, but you don't actually break it. What happens is, for men who are not circumcised, you actually tear the skin at the back, and that's what causes all the bleeding. If you go in at the wrong angle, that's what happens. It's not so much breaking as in tearing of the uncircumcised skin.
Right, okay.
So you have uncircumcised, okay.
Mm. All right. That would hurt. Mm. Ripping that skin.
Yes.
Ooh, so skin. No thanks.
All right, let's go to Nord. George.
Morning, boys.
How you going?
What can you tell us, George?
I'm on my back, sort of relaxing and stuff like that, and a little bit of exuberance, a bit of the angle and stuff like that, up and down. Must have just popped out, but not enough to disconnect and pull free, and down with a mighty thud, and it just bent. It hurt like bugger. It bent, and I ended up with a massive black ring around the pecker for a few weeks.
Oh, and, Right, thanks, George. A little bit graphic. Paul from Ridgehaven. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Excellent. Yes, we were in the act of lovemaking and was in a certain position, and I happened to get cramp.
Cramp?
It threw me off like I was riding a buck horse.
Gee.
And I fell over the bed and hit the side of the bedside table and had...
Cramp. You must have been going for about 2 hours, were you? Crikey. Normally you get cramp after about the fourth quarter, don't you, in the game of footy.
Time on
in the last quarter. Yeah indeed. Let's go to Leanne Paralawi. Good morning, Leanne.
Hello.
What can you tell us?
Okay, well...
Now, Leanne, before we go on, you sound about 12. How old are you?
I'm 41.
Sorry. I'm not being disrespectful. I just need to check.
No, that's okay.
I'm
over 18, yes. Yeah. So I've got a friend who's an ambo who rocked up to a call one day and the guy had his willy stuck in the vacuum cleaner. and
that was an accident?
Well, I'm sure he's doing a
Was it a Dyson?
The thing is, they had no time. They had to get the guy and the vacuum onto the stretcher, covered with the sheet, and put him in the ambulance. And the worst part of it was, he reckons that the neighbours were all sitting out the front with their mates having a beer.
There's Macca!
Yeah.
What's Macca doing?
Little embarrassing, I would say, but
no. That's why you shouldn't do housework, you blokes out there.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
Look, I'll tell you for that call. I've got to send you off to see Midnight Oil. That was just brilliant.
Oh,
Leanne, Midnight Oil. So for you and a friend,
that's unbelievable.
Talk about suction.
You just turned
wouldn't
it off
let
at
go.
The point.
Eh?
If you just turned it off, wouldn't it just?
I don't know.
Let's move on. Give us a call for the pressure test. 133353.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point.
Ruin Dids. $1,000 pressure test.
Time to win $1,000. We haven't done this for a while, Roo, or haven't given it away, for quite a while.
Let's go to Allgate. G'day, James.
Morning. How you going, man?
Yeah, good, buddy. What are you up to today?
I'm just sitting out front of work, waiting for the boss to come.
Yeah, right. What sort of work do you do?
I'm a carpenter.
Oh, good. Where are you working today?
Just down, drove past the Victory sign on Tapley Hill Road and working down at just past Glenelg.
Right.
Oh, beautiful. Right.
Now, listen to Dits if you want to make $1,000 cash in 30 seconds.
All right, James, in 30 seconds, give me 10 languages.
English, Spanish, Latin, Indonesian, French, German, Portuguese, Brazilian, Mandarin, Japanese, Australian, English.
This is tight. Righto, let's go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh. so tight. Now, well, if you want to go back over it, he said Brazilian,
yeah.
But he also said Portuguese. They speak Portuguese in Brazil.
Do they?
Mm. So he got 9.
Mm,
Mel, the button pusher, 9?
Yes.
Yes. Definitely.
Do you have Italian and
Greek and stuff? Yeah. Mm. Oh, gee, well, that was tight. He did a great job.
He's gone.
And he spat it. He's gone. Yeah. No hanging around to have a chat James.
No.
Right, eh?
No, so no prize for
him? Okay. Well,
if you don't hang around, you don't get one.
He's gone.
Surely.
All right.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed, and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really. But we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined Its Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined Its.
Mel, the button pusher, how long to go now?
A month and a bit.
A month and a bit.
Yes. So far.
Baby number two to pop out. Alice the Wag.
Good morning.
Who revealed something very, very, very private this morning.
Yeah, she's broken a willy.
Yeah.
Oh, guys. Oh.
Snapped it in halves.
No.
And then we've got Ange, who's married to Mr. South Australia. How are you, Ange?
Good, thank you.
Good. Your kids are well?
Yes.
Do they listen to mum at this time of the morning?
Yeah, it's normally school drop-off time.
All right. We'll try not to be too risque this morning. No. What are your kids' names?
Ava and James.
Hello, Ava and James. Just don't listen for a minute. Mummy's on the radio. All right. Now, Rue, there's a website I like to go to each morning to sort of, you know, get most of our material for this show.
What is it?
Huffington Post. Now,
Huffington Post.
Should you tell your partner or your wife or husband how many sexual partners you've had?
No. Should you even ask?
Should you even ask? All right, Mel, the button pusher.
No. You never ask what anyone gets paid. I suppose you know what your partner gets paid. And you never ask how many people another person has slept with.
Really?
Ever.
Doesn't it tell you a bit about your partner, though? Or it's not? So it's just not information you need to know.
It tells you too much.
Oh, too much. Right.
Have you heard the old saying? Apparently with a woman you should multiply it by 3, and with a bloke you should divide it by 3, whatever they say.
Oh, that's so nice. I like that. Yeah. That's good.
Well, so you reckon women hide it and blokes exaggerate?
Yeah. Yep. Because women get crucified for it and blokes get championed for it.
What do you think, Rui?
Have you had
the discussion with Sarah at any stage?
No, I wouldn't want to know, to be honest.
No,
I think it's sort of private information. You always try and guess and you try and join dots when you hear conversations. And,
right.
You know, how many, you know. You would do that, wouldn't you?
No, I think you lie in these situations. No, you
that,
gotta,
that
you
means have, you're embarrassed about the truth, dude.
Perhaps. Alice the Wag.
Are you embarrassed in a good way or a bad way?
No, it's not the point.
Here we go.
Alice the Wag.
No, is it keep a conversation? Me in the dark. No, thanks. Don't want to know. No.
You don't want to know about him, but are you happy for him to know about you?
No, I don't think either of you need to know about either of you.
No?
What?
I don't think it matters, does
if
it?
If you're going to get married, you don't think it's important?
Well, you isn't are married
honesty,
to Sarah.
Isn't honesty a good policy?
Yeah, but not when it comes to history and stuff like that.
No?
No.
Just move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessary.
We've told each other. Like,
really?
I wanted to know. I'm like, tell me.
Did you tell the truth? Really? Swear to God.
Yeah, swear to God.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
Did Mr. South Australia?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Did Mr. South Australia
tell the truth? My kids are listening,
yeah.
Daddy was the first. One and only.
And you've only done it twice.
Yeah, two kids.
They're lucky.
All right, let's move on. Now,
wow.
What's been happening in Hollywood over the last couple of weeks? Harvey Weinstein. Why has it taken so long for all of these women to come forward? Were they scared for their careers? Were they embarrassed? Or what? I mean, we don't know unless we ask these women, but I'm just after your opinion on this. Why would were they thinking, oh, if I say something, I won't get in his movie? What do you think, Mel?
I think that's definitely a part of it, and I think there has been and still is to a degree, but it's getting better, a culture of if a woman speaks up, a lot of people's first reaction is to think, oh, she could well be lying.
Yeah.
And that's not nice to go through if you've already been the victim of something. It's like being victimised again. So a good example for me was Bill Cosby, and women were saying for a long time what he was doing, and no one believed them. So on top of having been abused by the man, they would say something and then they'd be disbelieved or called mental, absolutely nuts and that sort of thing. It took a man to actually say it before everyone started paying attention to that.
Right. Bill.
Yeah, it was a comedian, a male comedian, who actually was shouting it from the rooftops and everyone said, hey, we better listen to this.
So he was the guy really who thought this needs to be exposed seriously.
Yeah, so many women had said it over and over and over and they were just disbelieved and ignored. So imagine if you've been through something horrible and you go, if I say something, I probably won't be believed anyway. Why would you bother going through it?
That'd be tough.
And you told us a story earlier this morning when we were chatting about this. About Courtney Love.
Mm.
What can you tell us about that?
So she was on the red carpet for some event. I think she was in Cannes, the film festival, and they said it must have been around the time she did that.
How long ago, roughly? What, 10
whenever
years
that movie came out, the Hustler movie with Larry Flint, you know, that awesome movie she was in with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, that'd be a good
10 years ago.
Fair
while ago.
Yeah,
Fair while ago, and they said, have you got any advice for young women going into Hollywood? And she said, don't accept a private invitation from Harvey Weinstein. So that was one of the many times women had raised their voices.
So she said that on the red carpet?
Yeah, she said, I'll probably get libeled for this, but don't accept.
So no one dug into that.
And everyone just said, oh, Courtney Love being crazy again.
Wow. Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
I would have thought someone would.
What do you think about this, Alice?
Mm. Well, there's so many negatives that can come from them saying something. So they can not get cast in a new movie. They can be looked down upon. They can be blamed almost. Like, there's so many bad things. And for them speaking out, what good comes of it?
Mm.
Except if they've got enough backing and everyone is behind him, like what's happening to Harvey now. But say one lady came out and said it, it could have ended so badly for her if she didn't get that backing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what are you to achieve if you say something?
All right, Ange.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only reason that it's been, you know, kept a secret or people haven't spoken up about it is fear of their career progression, that they won't get into the movies. And it sounded like he was a big player in that in that field and environment. He made a lot of calls. So I think career and also, the fear that no one would believe you. But it sounded like so many people actually knew but just didn't say anything.
Everyone,
so it was actually a thing, you know, and people would make sly comments and on the side. But, and the Bill Cosby thing's the same thing. It was obviously happening, but people were too scared to say anything.
And then you can talk about Rolf Harris. And now there's another fella been named in Hollywood, Toback, I think his name is.
Mm.
I think 38 women have already come forward. So we're going to hear a lot more about it.
Over there.
All right, thanks, Angels.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Rue, there's a new book out called The Seventh Circle. Now, it's about a former Australian soldier, Rob Langdon. Would you believe, when I tell you this, well, it is unbelievable, he received the death sentence in Afghanistan for murder, which basically means it was all over. He served over 7 years in an Afghan prison, and somehow he's been released. He's here to tell his story, and he's written this book about it, The Seventh Circle, and Rob joins us. Rob, good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Rob, I just want to read the opening paragraph of your press release here. I was arrested on Thursday the 9th in 2009, the 9th of July. On Wednesday, I'd quit my job, killed a man, set his body on fire. I was sentenced to death. I'm not a good man, but I am an honest man. This is my story. Now, that is harrowing, just that paragraph in itself. When you say you're not a good man, what do you mean?
Well, most guys who serve time in infantry battalions have a certain way of doing things, and you see a lot, and it does knock you around a bit in your head, I think. A lot of guys I know have had a hard time of it coming back from overseas working with the military and as contractors. It helps if you have a really good sense of humour, believe it or not, and it does help if your mates are around. The thing with veteran suicide these days is a bit ridiculous when, you know, the government sees fit to spend money on other things, yet not that.
Mm.
That's my take on it. You end up doing a lot of things you're not proud of, and other ones you are. And it's just how it is.
So how did you end up killing a man and setting him on fire?
Well, in that part of the world, guys play around with guns all the time. There's a few, you know, people aren't exactly educated in these things. And generally, if you've got a gun and you wave it in someone's face, that gives you carte blanche to do whatever you want. Now, it's a different story when you do it to someone who spent his entire life learning how to do it, and the outcome isn't run away. And it's not the first time it happened.
Were you working when this happened, or...?
Yes, I'd resigned from the company the day before because I wasn't happy with people like that working there and a few other things that I detail in the book.
Yep.
But there was two American guys that I'd trained up on that convoy, so, and when they rang me, and saying that they'd been attacked just in Kabul, and this was early days. Why that sort of thing happening now isn't isn't exactly a rarity. Back then it was. So I just, the whole thing was sus. So I went out there just to see what was going on, and that's what happened.
Rob, yeah. You say that when you killed the man, it was in self-defense. You were pardoned by the Afghan president in July of 2016. So originally you were given the death sentence. You received a pardon. You served 7 years and you were released. Why did the Afghan president grant you the pardon?
That's one you'd have to speak to my lawyer, Kim Motley, about. She was the one who, alongside DFAT, the Australian consulate over there, did a lot of work behind the scenes to get it. Because there was so much detail with the case that was just completely ignored, basically because it was the way the place is, you know.
Yeah, so corruption, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the obviously somewhere along the line, people who are a lot smarter than me looked at the facts a bit closer and realised how much of a stuffer it was. I mean, if you get a death sentence within five or so minutes, I mean, you're not really going to be a in-depth
investigation, yeah. Tell us about 7 years behind bars there. How many people in a cell and what about the food and those sorts of things?
Well, the food, good if you like rice, I guess. Basically, I only really got fed once a day, but I was lucky enough again. Through friends who were outside who were working over there and the embassy there, was I got a fair bit of decent food. At one point, I was in the main part of the jail that what you can see from the photos of it, the big round bit, and that was a bit of Fight Club pretty much. But we're in a large open area with a bunch of African drug smugglers. So it was actually all right because I get on well with Africans. And towards the end, when I was there by myself, I ended up in another block and essentially ended up in a room by myself, which wasn't too bad at all, you know.
But did you get ill from the food and that sort of thing?
No, I've kept myself pretty healthy the entire time I was there. Exercise daily.
Rob, it's an incredible story. It really is. The book is called The Seventh Circle. Rob Langdon, he's a South Australian and, as we said, sentenced to death in Afghanistan, was granted a pardon, and he's here now to tell his story. The book is The Seventh Circle. Rob Langdon, thanks for joining us.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Bree, we mentioned earlier this morning the complaints about the NBN have gone up this year 151%. That's outrageous. That tells me there are a lot of problems with it.
Oh, absolutely. There is the cost of it, the speed of it, the inconsistency of it. Get it for nothing. Some people will have to pay tens of thousands of dollars just to get it hooked up if they want to.
One interview I saw on TV as well suggested that there's new technology out that by the time the NBN is rolled out in total, it'll be obsolete anyway.
Was this another Kevin Rudd idea?
Yes. Okay, Rudd.
Was it?
Well, he started it. All right. Let's go to our technical expert, Trevor Long. Trev, good morning.
As with all things technology, once you've bought it, there's something better.
Yeah, well, that's right. Now, Trev, what are the main complaints, do you know? What is wrong with the NBN?
A couple of key complaints. A, it's taking too long, so people are angry they don't have it.
Yep.
B, it's annoying to get connected, so they have a struggle with their telco to actually get the thing turned on. And then C, when they actually get connected, they don't think the speed is as good as it was meant purported to be by, you know, the government. And the problem is there's so many people involved in that there's no one person to blame, and that's our biggest challenge. We don't know who to blame. We don't know who to call. We don't know who to talk to. And the telcos are basically shunning responsibility onto the NBN when the NBN is a wholesaler. Like, you and I should never have to call the NBN. So the telcos need to stop the buck passing, and they need to just provide us with the service that we're paying for.
Was it Kevin Rudd that come up with the idea? And isn't there a CEO at the moment? Well, I mean, surely he's the man to speak to, isn't he?
100%. I've spoken to Bill Murray, the CEO of the NBN, and he's filthy. Like, he's not happy that there's problems, and he's trying his best to fix them. He's getting the telcos around the table to get it sorted. But in the end, mate, you're dealing with 40,000 people a week are connecting to the NBN. Now, that's a massive, massive scale of project. And so the telcos, like, Telstra loses $3 billion once the NBN switches on. So they're desperate to get all that back by gaining customers. And so they're just churning people onto the NBN, and they're doing it so fast, people are having problems. If we just took it a bit slower, we probably wouldn't have the problems, but everyone wants it now, mate. And then the different telcos provide different speeds. The different telcos are cutting corners in the speeds they provide to people. And so when people get connected, they're like, oh, hang on, this isn't very good. That's not what I wanted. So that's a real problem.
So it sounds very inconsistent right across the board as far as the service is concerned. Percentage-wise, how much of Australia is connected right now?
Great question. 50% of Australia has the NBN at their home and can connect. and 3 million Australian homes have connected. So let's call it 35% have actually connected to the NBN. So we've still got a massive distance to go. And that's the problem, is a lot of those people who don't have it are very vocally wanting it, and they're disappointed that it might be another 2 years, because it's not till 2020 it gets finished.
How much are we spending on the entire rollout?
$49 billion taxpayers' dollars.
Out.
And the idea is, here's the other problem. Because the government wants that money back, the NBN has to make money. And because the NBN has to make money, they have to charge a certain amount for the service, which means we're not getting cheap internet. We're getting expensive, fast internet.
Right.
So what we really need is for the government to go, you know what? Let's give everyone great internet. Let's write off the cost. I know it's $49 billion, but seriously, it's pretty important. And then it could be cheaper.
$49 billion is an extraordinary... What's that, about a tenth of our national debt?
Put it this way. The average home costs $4,500 to install the NBN. The average cost per premises.
Is it worth pushing ahead with it, or is there better ideas to spend the money?
No, we've got to finish it now. What we need to do is tell the politicians to shut up and just get it done. Finish it. Just let the NBN finish it, so that in 2020 we've all got it, and then we can look back and go, actually, maybe it's not so bad. Because it's probably not as bad.
Is it true that some people get the right cables that are faster and others get cable TV cables? Is that right?
Yeah. So I've got the pay TV cable at my joint using the NBN. It's great. Like, it's really good. The problem is people are being sold this idea that fibre to the home is the only way to get really good internet. I've got the pay TV cable. It's great. I've got mates that have got fibre to the node, and it's great. No, it's not as good as it would be if we all got fibre to the premises, but did you want to spend $100 billion? Don't think so.
Probably not, no.
So that's our challenge. It's a balance.
All right, Trevor, very good explanation of what's going on with the NBN. Our technical commentator there, Trevor Long.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Rue, the aftermath of the fatality at the weekend, the person, the career criminal that was shot at the Tollgate Motel.
Yep.
You raised a very, very good question about the police officer concerned.
Yeah, we just thought, well, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether he should have shot the criminal or did we do the right things there? But I just posed the question, how do the police feel and how do they deal with shooting someone afterwards? What sort of support do they get? How do they deal with it? How do they cope with it? Is it tough for them? And yeah, I just didn't know how they'd go.
Yeah, what's their emotional state?
Yep.
And in fact, you know, I've heard terrible stories that some of these people never rejoin the police force afterwards or they leave the police force. Would you believe it's coincidental? There's an expert touring Australia at this very moment out from America where he's had a lot of experience with law enforcement. His name is Dr. Kevin Gilmartin. He's actually written a book. It's out at the moment, Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. He's been talking to South Australian police here during his tour. He joins us now. Dr. Gilmartin, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sure you've found this from your studies and from the people you would have spoken to here in Australia, but it's actually very, very rare for one of our police officers to actually be involved in a shooting. And I would have thought that that makes it even more difficult for our law enforcement officers. Would you agree with that?
I think it's difficult always for an officer to be in that situation where they have to use lethal force. I think in Australia, not being an armed society, you know, statistically it's going to be occurring less frequently, so there'd be less peer experience to sort of guide the officer through. It's probably a very rare event, but nonetheless, the emotional follow-up is going to be just as difficult. It's not even, like you say, a little bit more difficult.
I've heard that a lot of our officers here that have been in this situation struggle even to make it back to work. Can you understand that, and why would that happen?
Well, I think because we're in societies that question police shootings very, very intensely, as they should, and there's a significant amount of trauma to the officer, plus the administrative concern the officer experiences about their employment status, about their legal status. It's a very difficult time. There's very few things in police work that are as difficult for the officer as using lethal force. It's a very hard adjustment for the officer.
A lot of police obviously get a huge amount of training before they go out and do their work. Do you think they get enough practice about how to deal with situations like this before they come up?
I think that the officers, my experience traveling many times across Australia, that the officers are well trained in terms of the tactics, in terms of having to handle the situation. But I think that since the situations occur so infrequently, there probably isn't a lot of experience in how do we help the officer afterwards. Australia is right now really actually leading, I think, the world in terms of putting mental health for officers on the front burner. There's initiatives across all the states to provide better mental health services for the police. And the traumatic events, such as shootings, are one of those. But the events also occur with any type of a traumatic death or responding to a multi-casualty automobile fatality, for example. Those are all very difficult, traumatic events, and the officers suffer from post-traumatic emotional disorder after those events.
So, Kevin, what are you doing talking to the state's police officers? What's your chat about?
Well, we talk about emotional survival, the very issues that you're questioning this morning. We've been in Australia now for 2 months, and we've been to each police force across Australia and have had large turnouts with police officers wanting and their partners wanting to learn strategies for dealing with events, not just traumatic events, but just the day-to-day issues for balancing their life.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Dr. Gilmartin, thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your tour around Australia.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, gentlemen.
104.7 Triple M.
7:23, ruined. It's on Triple M thanks to Southern Volkswagen at Ranella, a top of 28 degrees today. Now, Roo, the international rules is on its way, and one of the superstars is about to join us.
Yeah, Sean Burgoyne. Good morning, Silk.
G'day, guys. Thanks
for having me. How are you, Sean? How you going, mate? You well?
No, good, guys. It's been a good break so far and just enjoying our time off.
I thought at the age of 35, the last thing you'd want to do is play another game in November.
Yeah, I did think that same thing as well when I was asked to play. But we're already back training. We've been training for, we have 3 or 4 weeks off after our last game, and then we start our training. So we're back heavily training by ourselves. So I thought, well, why not? Go travel around Australia for about 2 weeks with the team.
Yeah. Now, so if you're back into training, I know a lot of it at this time of the year would be running, but what about the ball? Are you getting to kick the soccer ball around a fair bit, Sean?
Yeah, they've sent out everyone a ball, so pumped it up. And when I go do my running at the end, I have about 20, 30 kicks, practicing all the different styles and all those things. But I was lucky enough. I played international rules once before and as a junior as well. So a bit of memory when it comes to kicking the ball. But it's a bit tricky as well because it's not like a normal soccer ball. It's a bit of an egg-shaped ball. So it is very tricky to kick it.
Now, from what we've seen in over the years, a lot of our players have taken on this style of sort of kicking sideways or kicking around the corners. Is that the most effective?
Yeah, I think it is. Like I said, the ball's a bit out of shape. It's got like these little eggs in it or something. It makes it tricky. So if you kick it,
maybe you pumped it up too much.
Football. maybe, but yeah. So it makes it easier to kick a snap. So the guys that you normally see snap the footy, obviously Eddie Betts kicks a fair few goals on snap. So I'm assuming he'd be a pretty good kick at this ball.
Who you got in the team this year? Have you got a few big names playing?
Yeah, there's a heap. There's obviously Paddy Dangerfield, Gary Ablett, Joel Selwood, Scott Pendlebury. I think then you've got the Adelaide boys, Eddie Betts, Rory Sloan, Chad Wingard, Paddy Ryder, Travis Boak. So there's some big names playing. So at this stage, I reckon I'll be starting on the bench.
Well, it's not a bad place to sit anyway. It's on Sunday, the 12th of November at Adelaide Oval at 3:40 in the afternoon. So beautiful time of the day as it's just cooling down. And then the second game will be at Domain Stadium in Perth on Saturday, the 18th of November. Hey, just while we've got you, Sean, how did you feel about Luke Hodge after he hung up his boots, all of a sudden deciding to go and play for Brisbane?
Yeah, it was a strange one. Come as a bit of a shock to everyone because everyone was all preparing for him to retire. Did a little Luke Hodge retirement circuit towards the end of the year.
Yeah, he did.
And then
and then Faith just conned him up to go up there. But I'm really happy and excited for him. I think you're forever retired, and if he can go up there and play for 2 years and help develop the younger guys, because I think he's got a passion for mentoring and coaching as well. So we've seen the last couple of years him take that to the next level on field. So Brisbane have a very young list, and I think, and Fags being at Hawthorn for a number of years, knows exactly what he wants from Hodgie and what Hodgie can provide. So it's going to be an exciting venture for him and his young family as well to live up there in the sun for 2 years. But yeah, I couldn't be more happier for him. I think it's great because, like I said before, you're going to be forever retired.
Yep, for sure. Well said. Sean, thanks for joining us, mate. Good luck when you represent Australia next month. So it's at the Adelaide Oval and the other game is in Perth, mate. Good luck. Thanks for talking to us.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Sean Burgoyne. Roo, how many of these games did you play in?
A few. Only when they're in Ireland.
I was going to say, yeah, you're a good tourist. You couldn't make it when they're playing down the road at Adelaide.
A little bit busy.
I would have thought it would take you 15 minutes to get into the Adelaide Oval. They're playing for the Cormac McAnellan Trophy. Who were they?
It's a very important trophy, Dits, and you want to win that for sure.
And who are they again?
Look, I'd rather keep that private.
All right, fair enough. All right.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up. For Southern Volkswagen, Main South Road, Ranella, they're closer than you think.